crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called him, said to them, where is your faith? Because you prayed
all night, but you held on with all your might. Bow the pride, have hope in the Master.
He knows your hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun, but seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help, the Savior, and you know you can't give up now, because you prayed
all night, cause you held on with all of your might.
God, your prize, have a hope in the Master. He knows your voice, lift your so deadly, the water's so deep, but try to be patient, cause he'll soon bring peace. Just one word from his voice, it all must cease. Because you prayed
all night, but you held on with all your might.
Christ, have a word.
Blessing it is this morning to know that Jesus hears our cry, and he knows our voice, and that is such a comforting thought to know that all we have to do is say, Abba, Father, and he understands. I tell you, in the Bible, there's a lot of short prayers that have worked. Peter walking out upon the water and beginning to sink, he said, Lord, save me, and the Lord reached down and saved him. And so So long prayers, short prayers, I'm just glad that God cares. And what a blessing it is. Welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church. So good to see each and every one of you this morning, this brisk morning, cool morning. I want to welcome everyone that's viewing by way of Facebook. Never want to take your presence for granted. Thank you for tuning in. And those who may be listening on our webpage as well through our live stream there, we're just thankful that we have these outlets to share the gospel in and through. And again, just so good to see everybody. I want to bring you up to date on some sick people, some things that are going on, and a few announcements, and then we will have our morning prayer this morning. Brother Harold, so good to see Brother Harold back with us this morning. And he was out last Wednesday. I believe he had a fall, didn't you, Brother Harold? Yeah. Amen, brother. Well, so good to see you, and been praying for you. I know you got some appointments, I think, that you have to go to the doctor, so praying for that. Let's remember Brother Leonard in our prayers, if we could. Leonard Palmer, he's tested positive for COVID. Miss Dolores is waiting on results for her. He's supposed to have a foot surgery on Tuesday. I highly doubt that'll happen if he has COVID. I'm sure Brother Leonard wants it to happen so he can feel better, but we are praying for you guys. I know you're probably watching. We love you, praying for you. Palmers have been through a lot, different family. They've had over, or at least they went up to the Carolinas. At any rate, they have a lot going on, so let's just remember them, if you would, when you pray. Of course, remember Brother Don Rich as he continues his doctor visits. I believe he had two last week, got one coming up this week. Was supposed to leave he and Miss Carla to go back to Peru on Wednesday, but that's not going to happen. And of course, you know, we're kind of selfish. We love you being around here. You know, just stay till you're better and we'll let you go, okay? Just remember that. Of course, Miss Claudia, others standing in need of prayer. I do want to mention a couple special requests. My grandfather, he is not sure if he's out of the hospital yet or not, but he was just in the other week to have, as I've shared with you, a couple toes he had to get amputated. And I talked to my grandmother, and he's been back in the hospital. He had his last two toes amputated on his right foot, and so he has a foot left, and thank God they were able to save the foot. They weren't sure if they could get circulation in that foot or not, but they did. And he was heavily sedated for like 24 hours trying to come out of this. So the doctor is going to give him special shoes one time a year. And at the same time, he has to wear a boot so that he can get through the therapy process. So a lot going on there. Appreciate your prayers on that. Good to see Miss Connie and Christy. I know they... Miss Christy had been sick and a couple different times. So good to see you, Miss Connie. Brother Larry, of course, remember that. And if you would remember my dad, I know many already know, but we got a call this past week that hospice had been called in on him, totally unaware, caught us by surprise. And so Brother Bobby took me down there late one night. I believe it was on Thursday night. We were going to wait till Friday because the weather went ahead. Hospice nurse said, come on down. It'd be best to do that now. And so we went late Thursday night, got back early Friday morning, and he's just not eating. He's not not drinking anything, real weak and frail. To hear him, you got to get right down to his mouth to hear him. And so we felt like we should go and see him. He told the chaplain, whispered to the chaplain, he wants to see his son. So, we wanted to be there. And my brother and I, we were both able to be there, my nephew Gabe, we were all able to be there on late Thursday night. And chaplain also said that he whispered in the chaplain's ear after he said, I want to see my boys, that I love Jesus. He said he loves Jesus. And so just remember him, if you would, in your prayers. We're not really sure. God could spare him, raise him back up again. Of course, when hospice care, not palliative, but end-of-life care calls you in, then we just we're preparing for the inevitable. And so just remember that, if you would. We love all of you. Thank you. Thank you, deacons and men, this morning for the morning prayer in the office. That was very, very, very touching. So appreciate that. And thank all of you that have contacted me, Christy, both of us, with the prayers and the love and support. I and my family are blessed to be able to be at this church. We love each and every one of you, and you just do not know how much we thank you for your love and support, not just during this time, but since we've been here. We love you, and thank you says it best. All right, let me mention a few things before we pray. I'm going to try not to keep this too long. I don't want to take up too much of the service here, but I do have to take my time on a couple of these things. First and foremost, Otis Nixon will be here next month on the 11th. On the 11th, on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I wanted to get that out there. I encourage you, if you like to wear your Braves gear and jerseys and things, wear that on Sunday morning. Another church did that, and it was a great response. We're going to put on the marquee. We're going to draw people in from the outside. This will be a great outreach opportunity, and it should be a great time. And so he's going to give some of his Braves experience, his salvation testimony, and I asked him if he wouldn't mind signing a few autographs at the end of the service. He asked if any requests, and so I'm an autograph man, and so we're praying that that'll be a great time. So remember that. If you got any questions, just ask me. Also, the last Sunday of this month, which is the 28th, we normally have a last Sunday night fellowship. We're continuing that this year, but this last Sunday night, 28th, in particular, everybody, if you would really listen to this, we're going to have a chili fundraiser. A chili fundraiser. The fundraiser is for this cause, technology upgrade fundraiser. We have some things that we so desperately want to get in place. It's a short goal, but it is a goal by Jubilee time. We have a screen that hasn't been working properly. If we were to just fix the lines, the rolling lines from coming off the screen behind me, that would almost be as much. Just the wiring and the one that's the wire to the nursery, that one's not fixed because of the wiring. When we went to upgrade these two TVs in the hallways, you have new technology with old technology. And so the new stuff kind of messed up the older stuff we have, and so we need to upgrade that. But the wiring itself would be just as much, thereabouts, of purchasing two flat screens for our walls behind us on the choir walls. We want, the vision is to move all digital. I guarantee you will love it. If you like the sharp images on the wall, on the TVs in the foyer or the hallways, you will love the sharp images that's going to be on these flat screens. Now, this is a big ask, and we're wanting to raise $1,500. This is a big ask. I understand that. I know we just got out of the holidays, Christmas and all. I'm just asking if you would consider to giving to this cause. It's not just for Jubilee, but we're wanting to move ahead in all areas with our church. Again, we have outreach and things like that going on, and so we are throwing everything to the wall to see what sticks, and so to speak. But please consider that. If you don't have nothing to give, still come and eat at our chili fundraiser. But that's going to be the last Sunday night of this month. We already have someone who's taking care of the foyer. I met with Brother Carl this past week. We're going to start that in a couple weeks on the foyer. That's going to be ready for Jubilee. Again, big ask for the technology upgrade. But I really got something to say about asking big. I serve and we serve a big God.
Amen.
And so why put limitations on God? And so just remember that if you would. Brother Allen mentioned in choir practice to the choir, and probably that was the best time to mention it because it's about the choir. But I do want to mention to you, there will be a choir practice for our Eastwood church visit on next Sunday night, I believe it is. Next Sunday night, is that right? The 21st? The day before, Saturday, will be a choir practice at 11 a.m. at Eastwood. for those that are in the choir. And again, our Sunday night service on that 21st, 5 o'clock, will all be at Eastwood. This is going to be a total of 4 choirs with 1 voice. That's going to be amazing. And it's to just honor the life of Brother Alan Barrett and his music ministry. And we're doing that while he's living, and we're not waiting until he dies. And so what a blessing that is. Last thing, we did have a small outreach. One person did that last week. Again, we were led in a different direction to go be with my dad, and so I appreciate the person that did that. And we are going to go a small group this coming week and hand out flyers and announce the Otis Nixon visit that's taking place. And then in February, we're going to have a church-wide visitation. And so I share my vision with you. Let's all join together and just move forward as a church. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you this morning for all things, God. I'm just so thankful that our cry, Lord, gets your attention every time. Even when we don't know what to say. Even when it's just with grunts and groanings. Father, I'm thankful that you know how to interpret that. You know what we're saying. So I'm just thankful that we have a God that we can call on, a God that comforts, a God that cares. Father, this morning, help us give you our full attention for 1 hour. You asked the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, what could you not watch and pray for 1 hour, Lord? Help us give you 1 hour this morning. I know you want to say something special. We love you today and we thank you. Be with all these needs. We do pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you personally that you would save them today. And I pray that you would encourage the saints. We love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Yes, yes. Thank you. We do have a sign-up sheet for the chili fundraiser. So you can, if you want to, bring a pot of chili. And other items, that'd be great. So remember that right over here.
All right, church. So good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Take a hymnal, turn over to page number 333. Page 333, choir, stand with me. Let's all sing together, I'll Fly Away. All right, let's sing now. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's blessed shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, let's just go ahead and sing it all on the second verse. Second verse choir. When the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away to the eternal prison for my soul. I'll fly away.
I'll fly away.
I'll fly away. Great singing, and please do be much in prayer for the choir. Again, we have a practice next Saturday morning at 11 o'clock at Eastwood, and we want to try and carpool together, and we look forward to it. I don't know who's leading the music. I don't know who's playing the music. All I know is show up. So we'll figure all that together, and we are excited that everybody's going to have an opportunity to be be with us on Sunday evening. Normally we would say, you know, if we've got a choir event, that y'all please come and be with us if you can, and usually have, you know, some to show up for a choir event. This time we're taking the whole church with us. Amen?
Amen.
And it'd be a great time. We have the address. It's in the bulletin. So please go ahead and make plans for that next Sunday evening. That'll be at 5 o'clock at Eastwood Baptist Church in Marietta. And again, we're very excited that we are going to honor the life and the ministry of Brother Alan Barrett. And he's been such a blessing to us, to Floyd Road, and the other choirs he's been involved with down through the years. And we just want to honor him and bring him together. I know he'll be excited. His family is excited about it, I'm sure. But please remember that. Pray for the choir as we get together to do that. Again, Jubilee is right around the corner. Please make that a matter of prayer. And we've got a great lineup for this year. We look forward to it. Otis Nixon in February. A lot of great things coming. Amen?
Amen.
We're excited about what the Lord's doing here at Calvary. So just make it a matter of prayer. I told Amanda this morning, I said, look at the choir. You know, we're missing a few folks, and still it's beginning to look fuller. And there's still some room. There's some chairs left, and we'd love to have you if you want to become part of the choir. But let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to be with us this morning. Elsie, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer?
Thank you.
in my hand. But I never knew those dreams could slip right through like they were only grains of but the anchor holds. The anchor holds.
Yeah. Jehovah.
the Lord this morning for His presence. Troubles do vanish in His presence. Fears melt away. Anybody deal with any fears during the week, this past week? He can melt away those fears. Appreciate that song, Miss Amanda, this morning. And somehow I have nearly knocked off my lapel mic here on the side. But what I want to do this morning, I'm not going to be bringing my typical three-point message. I'm normally a three-point kind of preacher. But this morning, I want to speak from my heart out of one particular verse out of the book of Acts, chapter number 13, if you want to make your way there. Acts chapter number 13. And I want to share something here in just a moment that I hope will be a blessing to you and a help. Acts chapter number 13. And we'll see what the Lord has for us this morning. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to introduce the chapter. Again, we're going to mention one verse, and we're just going to go through that verse, line upon line, precept upon precept. And I have one main point I want to make from that verse. Again, something totally different than my norm, but I've been asking God to do something great, so maybe I just need to get out of the way and let Him. Father, we love You this morning. Thank You for all things. God, thank You for my loving church family that I love so much. Father, I pray in the next few moments, Lord, that You would use me, Holy Spirit, third person of the Godhead, the Trinity. You are a person. Work through me this morning. Use me. Connect to the hearts of the people. Let us all be changed. Let us all be challenged and maybe even convicted if we have to be. But I pray by the time we leave, we can all say that I heard something from God. Thank You for the music this morning. Thank You for Brother Allen, all of our sound and audio, video ministry guys in the back. Thank You, Lord, for all those who protect us as we worship, our security team. Thank You for all things. Move in a mighty way. And we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. Acts chapter number 13, we have the ministry of Paul starting here. He is beginning his missionary endeavors, his missionary journeys. And we know that it was Barnabas and Paul that would set sail to go preach the gospel. We know that John Mark was added to their ministry in verse number 5, and he went along with them. But it wasn't long after they got going on the mission field that Mark came back home. And it's not cut out for everyone being a missionary. I've never been past Alabama. I don't know anything what it's like to be a missionary. But I know a lot of great people who are missionaries to sit in our church this morning. And I would say that if you're thinking about being a missionary, make sure that you're called of God to do so. And so we see that here, that they are moving and ministering. In verse number 14, we know that they came to Antioch in Pisidia. Antioch and Pisidia is where they came. Next, Verse 14 also says that they went into the synagogue there on the Sabbath and sat down. So we have Paul and we have Barnabas walking into this church during their missionary journey and sitting down. Kind of like what you're doing this morning. You came here and you're sitting down. Verse number 15, the Bible says, and after this, the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogues, sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Verse 16, then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. And so Paul begins to exhort the people of God and encourage them. He started in the Old Testament speaking of God's faithfulness to Israel and ended in the New Testament speaking of Jesus' redemption. We know ultimately that the message fell on deaf ears. And because of that, the gospel was turned to the Gentiles, verse 46. But I do want to call your attention this morning to verse number 22. Verse number 22 is the verse I want to look at. In the middle of his encouraging message, Paul says this. Let's back up and read verse 21, then 22. And afterward they desired a king. God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. That's the verse that I'm interested in this morning. And again, I'm doing something different. I don't necessarily have any bold points to point at, but I do just want to work my way through this verse and bring you, if I could, one ultimate point there in the middle of the speaking this morning. Let me say this. In verse number 22, Paul speaks of King Saul's removal and King David's approval. He says in verse 22, when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. We already know about the life of Saul, and we know he did not follow the Lord with all of his heart, and because of that, he was removed. But then the Lord raised up another man by the name of David, and he was approved. So we have in this verse Paul encouraging the church, saying that God removed one and raised up another. Also in this verse, I want to call your attention to the two words raised up. It says, and when he had removed him, Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king. The words raised up here, it means to rouse from obscurity. It means to rear up or to rouse from obscurity. And we know this morning that David was anointed king as a young boy. But he wasn't on the throne as a young boy. You know the account there in 1 Samuel, how that Saul was dethroned and There was about to be a new one on the throne eventually, but he would go and, as God directed, and anoint one for king. We know that seven of the sons of Jesse passed through. He asked if that was it, and there was another. David came, and he was anointed king as a young man. He wasn't on the throne yet. First, there had to be some things to take place before he was throne ready. First, he was the little shepherd boy, as you know, who would take care of the sheep and watch the sheep. He would protect the sheep. And we know upon the occasion of the animals, the wild animals, the lion, the bear will come after, did come after the sheep. And David caught them by the beards and protected his sheep. Next, David went on from a shepherd boy to a sling thrower. David recognized that there was a giant, and he was taunting the people of God, and he was doing so productively for many days. David was on an errand by his father, and he seen the situation, and it troubled David. It troubled him. He said, "Is there not a cause here?" So we know, long story short, David, little David, he, with all the faith that he had, trusted in God, picked up the stone and threw it, and we know that it landed right in the middle of the head of Goliath. We know that. I believe it was five smooth stones. And then, at the appropriate time, he was ready. He was ready for the throne. So we see here that David was raised up. God brought him through a lot of things to get him to a place of usury. David now sits as a confident king. He learned how to care. This was the shepherd stage. He learned how to fight. This was the Goliath encounter. Now David, he sits confidently on the throne with experience in faith in Almighty God. This morning I want to just let you know that God wants us to sit confidently in our walk with God. God wants us to stand confidently, believing in Him, reflecting back on past experiences. He wants us to be people of confidence who move forward and trust the Lord. Of course, this confidence comes by troubling situations in our life. And so we see that the Bible says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king." I want you to notice something else in this verse. Not only that, but the Bible says, "I have found David," this is the testimony of God, "I have found David, the son of Jesse." The son of Jesse. So Paul says that and gives reference to the son of Jesse being David's dad. Or at least he addresses David as being the son of Jesse. Of course, this is my belief, and based upon what other commentators have said, that this was said to draw attention to the common man. He was the son of Jesse, a man of really no great importance in Israel. He was calling attention to the common man. He was calling attention, the Lord was, to the common family, to for the families that did common things. The Lord was calling attention to those who had common jobs and who experienced common problems. Aren't you glad this morning that God is looking for common people who have common problems, who work common jobs, who experience common things? So we have the son of Jesse, a man of really no great importance in Israel. Jesse having eight sons, of whom David was the youngest. Again, the first son was not approved. The second son was not approved. Then finally, David was called. And we know that David was approved. Thank God this morning that God uses, again, common people who do common things, who have common jobs and encounter common problems. Thank God that God uses the unlikely to do great and mighty, wonderful things. If God was looking for the mighty, if God was looking for the intelligent, if God was looking for the educated, God would not have chose this old boy. But I'm glad that who God calls, God does indeed qualify. The Lord this morning is wanting to use common people to do great things. And He takes us through various stages of life, like David, the shepherd stage, the Goliath encounter, all of these things so that we will be a confident people serving the Lord. 1 Samuel 16:7, don't turn there, I'll give it to you. The Bible says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. I thank God for counsel. I thank God for people who try to mold me and shape me, tell me things about the ministry and life. I thank God for that. I thank God for Brother Berman, who was my first pastor over at Floyd Road. And listen, I watched him like an eagle. I watched how he dressed. I watched how he talked and how he walked, how he handled situations. I thank God for all of those godly men and all of those godly things that has definitely helped shape my life and my life as a minister. But this morning, listen, God uses people who are frail, and God uses people who are fragile. God uses the unlearned and uneducated. And even if I didn't have any person in my life to mold me and help shape me, I do believe God would have taken me Himself and done a great work. Man looks on the outward appearance. Oh, this man is educated. This man has degrees. This man is charismatic. This man, oh boy, he can do great and mighty things. Listen, I came to the King with no great intelligence. I came to the King with a dirty life. I came to the King with a dirty past. I had nothing to offer my King. But when I came to the King, He took me in as a son. He put a robe on my back. He put a ring on my finger. He put shoes on my feet. And if nobody would ever instructed me in the ways of the Lord, I have a heavenly Father who has been instructing me from day one of my salvation. He will instruct me every step of the way. I thank God for life experiences that teach me how to walk with God. Again, I thank God for those in my life who mentor. But if there was never a mentor in my life, Jesus is enough. This morning, we see here that David, he was raised up. You may be here this morning and say, Brother Justin, I'm a struggling Christian. And I just don't know if God is using me. Let me ask you a question. Do you desire to be used by God? Do you desire to touch others' lives? And if you do, my brother, my sister, that's all it takes. You don't have to bring any great talent. You don't have to be charismatic, thank God, because sometimes I'm a stick in the mud. All you have to do is bring yourself before the King and say, God, use me. I'm glad this morning that God uses nobodies. I'm glad that whenever we get saved and we stumble and we mess up and we blow everything, God, He just puts us back on the wheel and He smashes us, so to speak, to make us pliable. He starts all over fashioning and making a vessel that He can use. Thank God that God is in the children raising business. And when He had removed him, He raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also He gave testimony, God, and said, I have found David, the Son of Jesse. Son of Jesse. I have found a common guy to be king. I have found a common guy with common problems to be king. I have found a common guy with a common job to be king, coming from a common family who had common problems. Anybody in here have family problems? Woo-hoo! Hoo-hoo! We all got problems. But thank God he's not waiting till our problems are ironed out to use us. He wants to use us right now, right in the middle of the chaos, right in the middle of the unanswered prayers, right in the middle of all of these things taking place. God wants to use us now. Now. So, we see that he was the son of Jesse. Thank God that while man is looking on the outside, God is looking on the inside. Thank God. We have some things we want to do around here. And that's not just talk. We want to do some things. And while man may look at Calvary and say, I just don't know. And I'm not being critical this morning. I'm not going to get on a tangent. But while man may say, well, I just don't know if Calvary will ever get off the ground or go forward, how dare whoever you are to think that? Because Calvary is God's church. And inside God's church is God's people. And the last time I checked, the God that did great works at Calvary Baptist Church, even before I was born, God still can do great and mighty things here. I have a feeling it's not, listen, we're not waiting on God around here. God's waiting on us around here. Someone told me the other week, and I'm so glad they told me, we were just talking and they mentioned it. It made perfect sense, but it's like, aha, that's it. The statement was, God will meet you halfway. He wants to see the effort. And while we have been given effort here, listen, there needs to be more effort. It's 2024. We're not promised tomorrow Jesus could come at any moment. And if he did, I don't want to be found sitting and soaking. And my own Bible knowledge not even sharing it. Oh, when things start working out over there, I'll go back to Calvary. Or when attendance picks up. Then, now listen, I do want to say this. If a person has a genuine concern, okay, that's a good thing. We want to know about that. But when I'm talking about complaining, just to complain, why ain't it growing over there? Well, can I ask you a question, ma'am or sir? Why aren't you soul winning outside the church? Well, I can't believe it's just not growing over there. Well, I want to ask you, what are you doing to make it grow? Listen, I am smitten in the heart with a great commission. Jesus just didn't save me to sit, yeah, pastor and preach and help you try to be a blessing. But the overall goal is to go out and bring them in. I've got so many different opinions. People have told me some people believe that door knocking is a way of the past. Oh, you can't go door knocking, Brother Justin. They'll shoot you dead. Well, listen, I'm about the place, Brother Ceylon. At least I'll be doing something for Jesus if I'm shot dead. And somebody over here says, oh, door knocking is the way to go. Someone said, oh, Brother Justin, you ought to mail out invitations. I said, we did that. What, 4,000 or 5,000, Brother Don? And listen, people have all their opinions. I'm so sick and tired of hearing everybody's opinion. I do take good sound advice. I'm not beyond learning, but I'm here to listen to God this morning. If God has called me to be a pastor, if God has called me to preach, if I'm saved and I know I am, I don't need nobody to tell me what God wants. I know what God wants because God's in my heart. So, coming up week, thank you, Miss Lee Ellen. We've got flyers and pamphlets. I'm going out. If you don't see me again, I got shot dead. Okay? But I am not going to live and be pastor here for whatever time God wants me and be guilty of not bringing the gospel outside of these doors. I'm not going to do it. And so this week I'm going. Got a couple others that's going. One went last week. Again, because of my dad, I couldn't go. Next week, we're going to have a church-wide. And listen, church, I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do other than go to their doors and knock. I don't care if I look like a Jehovah's Witness. You speak to me 2 seconds, you'll know I ain't no Jehovah's Witness. Something's got to change. Listen, we're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. He is a patient God that's been waiting on us. In fact, Revelation says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, singular, all it takes is one person to open the door of their heart to Jesus. And I was reading a book the other day by Kenneth Kuykendall, and he was talking about revival and how we all want revival. We all want revival. Well, revival starts in one little spot, one little chamber of the heart. One little chamber. Revival starts. And many times in the Baptist church, we revival, revival, jubilee. They're going to come in here and preach the house down, and we're forever going to be changed. No. That's not a biblical definition of revival. Revival is someone where the fire has gone out, and you are wanting God to come in and stir around that which has died, and you want God to move in your heart. Whether it's a revival, whether it's a jubilee, it can't happen at those times. But revival many times happens in the stillness of nights when someone's on their bed and they're so dissatisfied with their mediocre, mundane Christian life. They say, oh God, would you stir my heart like when I got saved? Would you move in my soul? Would you move in my spirit, my friend? That's how revival starts. Amen. Behold, I stand at the door, and if any man open that door, I will come in to him, and he will meet. What's up with him? He will meet. I wonder this morning, who's willing to answer the door at Calvary? Are you satisfied with the regular, mundane, going to church, religious exercise? Now, I know the motive of your heart. You're here because you love the Lord. But is this it? Are y'all satisfied with this? Are you really? Or when you drive home and you see the churches down the road where there's parking lot attendants. We got a spot over here. We got a spot over there. And listen, and you drive down the road. You see on Facebook these mega churches where people is just flowing out of them, and ministry on top of ministry, and coffee shops, and all these great things, and things for the kids. They're already planning VBS, and it's just now it's got into the new year. All of these things. Are you comparing? I'm not saying that Calvary will ever be a mega church, but I do want to say this. If God wants it to be a mega church, it'd be a mega church. Amen. I've heard people say, Calvary will never be burnt hickory. Shame on you. Is God not big enough for it to be burnt hickory or bigger than burnt hickory? We're not even trying to be like burnt hickory. We're not trying to be like any kind of hickory. I'm just trying to adjust our thinking this morning. God has adjusted my thinking. God is so big. We don't need to box them in. We need to grab the horns of the altar and say, Lord, help me dream big. Somebody might be watching on Facebook and said, Justin's fired up this morning. Give it a week or two. Huh? There's always some wet blanket throwers out there. Oh, Justin's jumping around. Give it a couple weeks, he'll be okay, and I won't feel nervous anymore by watching. Why does my excitement this morning make you nervous? Huh? Well, is my excitement making you nervous? There may be some who are nervous because I'm excited about Jesus. Listen, he saved me. He changed me. There is a great commission lingering and looming over my head. Christians are supposed to beget Christians. Sheep beget sheep. And if you are uneasy about the things I'm pitching this morning, about the direction of this church, and you're nervous, it might be God is knocking on your door and saying, older church member, been here 40, 50, 120 years, your life isn't over. Young person who's in elementary, middle school, and you're nervous, you're thinking, what in the world? What direction are we going in? Listen, Jesus may be speaking to you, young person. All ages, God wants to do something great. And I got news for you. It ain't going to rub off me. My flame is not going to die down. And I know daily I have to put wood upon the flame. I know that. Understand that. That's a picture of devotion. And I'm going to do that because I have been here long enough where I don't just want the normal. I want more. Which kind of leads me to my main point. Notice if you would in Acts 13, verse 22. And said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. My title this morning is simply this, A Heart for the King. A Heart for the King. Do you have a heart for the King? What does that phrase mean? A man after mine own heart. What does that phrase mean generically? A man after mine own heart. It means this. For a person to be after another person's heart, it means it refers to someone who has similar values, interests, or beliefs as another person. It signifies a connection. And so we see here God is saying that David is connected to me and I'm connected to him. We share the same values, interests, and beliefs, or truths. And so if we have a heart this morning for our King, we will delight in his values. We will delight in his interests and truths. Not beliefs, but truths. We will fulfill his will. Just hear me out on the rest. If we have a heart for our King, we will delight in his values, interests, and truths. We will fulfill his will. Thus, we will be connected to him. Of course, in salvation through the new birth, we're connected, but in a practical daily way, we will experience his power, which is manifested in different ways. We will experience his presence. We know he's always with us and never forsake us, but we will experience his presence in different ways. We will experience his peace if we're sharing the same values, interests, and truths. If we're connected to him. If we have a heart for the King, we will experience these things and much more. Are you connected to him today? You say, I'm saved. Well, then it's at your disposal to get more intimate with him. Do you value what he values? Are your interests his interests? Do you believe his truths? Are you endeavoring to fulfill his will? Which leads me to another question. What is his will? What is God's will this morning? Let me say this, that we have the will that we know of, that is sharing in his values and interests and truths. We are to remain connected to him and share the same values, interests, and truths. That's his will. But in his word, there is a revealed will. And in his word, there are many places where it talks about this is God's will for you. But I want to share briefly three areas that is God's will for all of us. And if we have a heart for the King, we will be a person after God's own heart. And hopefully God can say of us, they have done, they shall fulfill all my will. Number one, and these three words rhyme, you know me. I like to make a little fun out of it. The first word is share. The second word is care. And the third word is Blair. not a name, but you'll see what I'm saying. Matthew 28:19, briefly. It is God's will that we share the gospel. Matthew 28:19. Listen to this. I really try to calm down on my word rhyming, but I just can't contain it sometimes. In Matthew 28:19-20, we see that we are to evangelize, baptize, and I made this one up, discipleize. That is God's word for all of us. Look what Matthew 28:19 says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word teach means evangelize. Preach the gospel. Baptizing them, which follows a person accepting Jesus, is believers' baptism, portraying what happened on the inside of them. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And then, verse number 20, teaching them, we are not to abandon the new convert. And that is one area where the Baptist church has fallen short in the area of discipleship. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we're to share our faith. That is God's will for all of us. And what does he say when we do that? I believe it's in John 15. He talks about if we go forth and bring forth fruit, and our fruit should remain, ask what you will of the Father. It's so many words. I know I'm not quoting it perfectly. But when we do that, he will bless us. And if our prayer is for our church to grow and do great things for God, and we're not evangelizing, see what I'm saying? That answered prayer is being held back because we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. Not only share, that is our faith, and listen, I'm not saying that you don't witness to somebody in Walmart or the grocery store. That's fine. I'm talking about corporately and on purpose as a church. Not only share, evangelize, baptize, discipleize, share our faith, but secondly, care. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're to care. Don't turn me off just yet, because I want you to hear this. We're to care about purity. Verse number 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. I want all ears, young or old, upon me and listening. This is the will of God, young people. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Young people, stay close to God and stay pure. Don't put yourself in an area of temptation and you tell yourself before that, oh, if that ever happens, I'll just leave. No, you won't. It's too late to decide what you're going to do in that dark car, in that dark alley. You're going to mess around. You're human. Decide ahead of time. Commit. And once you've committed of what you're going to do before it happens, you can't break it because you've committed. But not only young people, middle-aged people, older people. You say, what's fornication, Brother Justin? The Greek word is porneia. I ain't going to ask you anything further. Fornication in the Greek is porneia. It is sexual immorality. It is sexuality outside of marriage. Anything sexual outside of marriage is fornication. And this morning, if he is our king, I'm not saying we'll be perfect. I'm not saying you won't miss the mark. I'm not saying you won't be tempted. But what I am saying, if he's your king, you will care about purity. You'll care about purity. And you'll strive for purity. Now, the word sanctification here, I believe this is talking about the work of sanctification. Not that we were made completely whole. That was accomplished at the new birth. Sanctification also means purity or holy. The Bible says we are to be holy as He is holy. Sanctification is seen in two ways, or its work is accomplished in two ways. Number one, sanctification works as ceasing to do evil. But the other side of that coin is learning to do well. And listen, whether it's in the area of sexual immorality, whether it's in the area of anger, whether it's the area of just spending money that you don't have, whatever area it is, we all should be experiencing some type of sanctification where we're learning to refrain from evil and we're learning to do what's right. This is a process. A process. Yes, through salvation we are perfectly made whole. We'll go to heaven, but down here, practically, daily, we are faced with the flesh, the world, and the devil. And we all ought to strive for purity. We ought to care. We ought to care. Let me hurry up. We have the second word, care. But then, turn over to chapter number 5, 1 Thessalonians. And I chose the word Blair. Blair. Look at verse number 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's the word Blair or praise. Be grateful. Be thankful. Offer up to God the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes it will cost you something to raise that hand. He says, in everything. We know this. You've heard preaching. I've taught about it, preached on it before. In everything. He didn't say, for everything, give thanks. I'm sure it's hard to thank God for somebody who has cancer. It's hard to thank God for somebody who's died suddenly or gradually. It's hard to give thanks to God for a child or a relative that got killed in a car wreck. I don't know about you, but I don't thank God for those things. But what I thank God for is in the middle of those life tragedies, God has a purpose. In the middle of those tragedies, there is a love of God that can be embraced. There is a closeness that can be felt. And so while we don't give God thanks for everything, we can give God thanks in everything. That person didn't die of cancer in vain. That relative who died in that car accident, they didn't die in vain. There is a purpose. I may not understand it. I may not even agree with it. But somewhere down the road, they didn't die in vain. And so we give God thanks that He has a purpose in everything. We give God thanks that He has love to offer us during these times. As I said the other Sunday, and I like it pretty well myself, I said, breathe in the love of God. Breathe out the love of God. Receive the love of God for yourself. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants to help you as a believer. But then exhale the love of God. Love others. Help others. Sometimes we just have to find our praise. Looking for some kind of reason, some kind of purpose in what happened in life. When you lost that job, I'm sure you ain't thinking, "Woo! Praise God, I'm broke. I ain't got a job." But I guarantee you, if you are a child of God, there is a reason why you lost that job. There is a, hey, listen, every time God closes a door, He opens another door. And like the song says, by the witness, there must be a greater yes. Does that make sense? Because if we are human, it's hard to, at least in this context we're reading right here, it's hard to thank God for tragedies, but you can thank God in the tragedy for something. Blair, in everything, give thanks. Not necessarily for everything, but in everything. Find our praise. This is God's will. What are you dealing with today? What are you dealing with? We got the phone call the other night about Dad. I'm not happy. I'm not thrilled. I'm not excited. I'm not praising God that my dad is about to pass away. But as I went up there the other night and stood over him, it allowed an opportunity for me to bend over in Dad's ear and say, "Dad, I just want to thank you for being the best dad ever. I can remember, Dad, all those days you would go out in the cold and hang off those ladders, paint houses to make sure we were fed." I had opportunity. And also, we asked him if he was saved all over, made sure he was saved. We asked him that again. I know we prayed with him several times. He had, you know what I'm saying. He wanted to know. He's saved. And so that nursing home, it was rough. It was dingy. I do appreciate the people there. I have no complaints about that. They have waited on him for the past 7 years, 8 years. And my brother was there. We was able to connect. My nephew Gabe was there. We had this moment around the bed with Dad that was God ordained. Had to be. And I give the Lord thanks that in that moment we were able to say our final goodbyes, if that was it. We were able to tell Dad how much we love him. And let me say this, and I'll close. I don't know, and I said this to Dad just because of my own mind. But let me tell you what I said to him, and I'll close. I said, Dad, we're about to leave, and if I don't see you again and God takes you home, would you do me a favor? And I said this for me. I said, when you see Mom, you tell her I love her. And I know you can't remember the former things and all that, but that was for me, Miss Marianne. I said, Dad, we're getting ready to leave, and if you pass and God takes you while we're gone, just tell Mom I love her and I can't wait to see her. That was therapeutic for me. And so I said all that to say this, that in everything give thanks. It's the will of God for us to care about purity, for us to share our faith, all of those things. The question is, are you a person after God's own heart? Do you have a heart for the King? Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. God, I just thank you for the